few scriptures, and hopefully this week you can meditate on them. These are going to be passages in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 30, you can see them on the screen, and Romans chapter 10. A few weeks ago, we had water baptism, and a little while ago, specifically last week, our associate pastor, Dino Giuliano, he was talking about spirit baptism and the passages that go along with that. Sometimes we don't know what happens practically after we have been baptized in water. How many of you have experienced water baptism? Raise your hand high. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Now keep your hand up. Now look around. Look around. Look around. Look at all of who joins us in saying, as Jesus was buried, we were buried. And as Jesus was raised to new life, we've been raised to new life. Wednesday night when we were talking about this, Pastor Pam shared something. She said that baptism is full immersion. And when Pastor Dino and I baptized these wonderful individuals, and we all have, you know, experienced this, they were baptized. Pastor Gino and I baptized. And when we baptized, we didn't take some water and sprinkle over their head. We took these wonderful men and women and we fully put them under the water. It's full immersion. Which means that every night, I asked the Lord to receive this from our lives a minute ago in prayer, that every door in our lives would be open to Him. Look at what the title says, Living Through Ongoing Baptism. Every area of our lives is fully immersed, first in death, because that's the symbolism. Just as Christ was buried and raised up by the glory of the Father, this is Romans chapter 6, we too should walk in newness of life. That's the symbol when Dino and I put them all the way under the water. How many of you, when you got baptized, you went under the water? Raise your hand if you can say, yeah, went under the water. Okay, good. That is symbolic. And Jesus left two ordinances that he said, I want you to make sure these two things happen. Take communion every opportunity you get. And make sure that you are baptized. So that water baptism is supposed to really help with our identity. The first weekend in May, I'm going to have a friend of mine come, and he's going to really unpack on a Sunday morning identity. Identity is critical. It's crucial for the believer so that we don't get baptized. We don't go through the process of saying, Jesus, be my Lord. And then, as I said back in March from Colossians chapter 1, that we get washed and then put on soiled clothes. When we get washed, we want to put on clean clothes. Right? Right. So that's what happens when we get born again, when we give our lives to Jesus. And so I'm being led by the Spirit to talk about what do the new clothes look like? Ongoing now, ongoing. So that being washed with water as the symbol, our mind recognizing and considering this is what happened. Again, that's in Romans chapter 6. It says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God. Reckon, consider it, consider it. And not just the nice things. That's why we want to open every door in our lives and in our heart to the Father God. And open all the doors. Is there a door in your heart? Is there a door in your mind? Is there a door in your activity? Are there doors with your habits? Are there doors that God doesn't have access to? You want to have access? He wants to have access to every door. So when Naomi was singing that song, Mighty One, Mighty One, we worship you. What does that look like? What does it look like? What does it look like when nobody else is around? Worship isn't just for this environment. And this is a beautiful environment. And it's great to have this team, musicians, singers that help us to get there. But man, when we leave here, we still want to worship. So we open every door. Now, let me say parenthetically, let's put some parentheses around this and say, this isn't with shame. This isn't with fear. The enemy would love for you to obey God as a formula. The Father doesn't want you to worship him as a formula in your obedience. He says, worship me. This is what Jesus says. When he was laying out his pitch to this woman who had five husbands. None of them were hers. It was habit. And there's a whole bunch of mess attached to it. And the history of her life. You don't always see the nuances in scripture. You don't see it laid out right there. But there's nuance of what she went through and how she got to where she got to. And so she started talking about formulas. Our fathers worshiped this mountain, worshiped in this well. Jesus said, hang on. The time is coming, and now is, when those that worship the Father are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. What does it look like? It doesn't look like formulas. There's an intimacy. There is a closeness. Pastor Dino mentioned it last week. We're going to talk about those points in a little bit. It's not formulas. And it's not to bring shame and regret and fear and, oh, I better. You're going to see God's got some commands to the children of Israel. And none of them have changed. The same thing he required in the Old Testament, he requires in the New Testament. It just adds to it. Jesus said, I'm the fulfillment of that. So sometimes we think, oh man, God had some commands, but now it's, hey, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? God will forgive me. God's gracious. I can act the way I want to act. I can say what I want to say. I can do anything I want to do because I know God will forgive me. And he will, but you'll miss the intimacy. You'll miss the picture of his goodness. You'll miss the power of his resurrection through spirit baptism, ongoing. You'll miss it. One of the apostles put it this way, you'll have a form of godliness, but you'll deny the power. So we want to come in line with this new and living way that happens. Ongoing baptism. How does that happen? Invite God into every area of your life. Every area of your life. And for those of you that say, well, Pastor, I've been walking in this thing for such a long time. I've had this particular habit for such a long time. I've gone this way for such a long time. You love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. You believe Jesus loves you? Yes, Pastor, I believe Jesus loves me. But this thing, it grips me. How do I do it? How do I? That's where the Spirit and that ongoing Spirit of baptism must take place. And all the time. And it becomes so sweet because it is based on a relationship with the Father, and it is fueled by the support and help and guidance and comfort of Holy Spirit. That's why all day, all throughout the day, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. Remind me of the Father. Remind me of what he's saying. Remind me. Bring everything back to me. Strengthen me. You notice the difference between Peter with Jesus now. Peter, right before Jesus went to the cross, man, this guy, and he was a follower. He was lying and cursing and denying all of it. And Jesus physically was right there. After the third time he did it, he locked eyes. He locked eyes. Let me ask you a question. What kind of eyes do Jesus have when you lock with him? Is he mad at you? He mad at you? Is he waving a finger? Peter, how could you do that? I told you what was going to happen. He locked eyes, and I see Jesus' love. I see Jesus' mercy. I see Jesus' grace. I see Jesus saying, yeah, it was supposed to go this way because you needed to see that you can't do anything without me. Peter felt so much shame. I always say this. I saw this years and years ago. Judas felt so much shame and guilt and regret for what he did, he went and hung himself. I believe Peter felt the same thing. And the Bible says he wept bitterly when the dust settled. Have you ever gotten to that place where the dust settled? After you said what you said or you did what you did, the dust settled, you're like, oh, God, I really do love you in my heart. Romans chapter 7, Paul is describing, he says, I delight in the law of God, in the inward man. I really want to do it. I remember when we were going over that. But yet I see another law warring against my mind, bringing me into captivity. And then he ends up sounding just like what the Bible says about Peter. And he screams out, oh, wretched man, oh, miserable man that I am. Who's going to help me do this thing in ongoing fashion? And so he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then he starts the next. It's new for us because of how the Bible's been written. It's a new chapter, it's chapter 8. But it was one ongoing letter that Paul's writing to the church in Romans. In Rome. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk or who live, who conduct their lives. There's no condemnation. There's nothing to lock you away from the very power of God. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Everybody put your hand on your chest just for a minute. Say these words. Say, Father, thank you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. and some things that I struggled with when I was in my mid-20s. When that thing came, I can't tell you how many times I'm walking and driving and sitting all throughout the day saying, Father, I thank you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you that the law of your word has set me free. Set me free from the law that says, I can't help it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I had to say it. Faith is in your mouth and in your heart. So I had to say some things. But I'm just talking to you this morning just as a father in the house, wanting you to see that it's ongoing baptism. It is ongoing. It has to happen all the time. Otherwise, it's just a formula and it's just an environment. Presence is here. But we also need presence to be in the kitchen, right? We also need presence to be in the bathroom and in the bedroom. Presence. We need presence to be there and everywhere. We need presence to be in the car. Presence to be in the car. I was trying to get into an on-ramp. I was trying to get on an on-ramp. And so I put my signal on and I'm inching over. And I looked at the person for grace. Auto grace. Everybody say auto grace. I was looking for some grace. And specifically because this person had received grace. It was part of my plan in getting over. I saw that person ask for help. They got let in. I said, oh, let me go and ask them for some auto grace. And so I put my signal on and I started leaning in a little bit. Everybody was stopped at that point, started leaning in a little bit. And they wouldn't look at me. So I beeped a little more, and they didn't look at me. So I just waited. I waited. And then they looked at me, and they gave me all kinds of motions. You know what tried to happen? Their frustration tried to jump on me. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't singing, Mighty One, Mighty One. Nope. All of a sudden I'm thinking, why won't you let me in? Why won't you let me in? And Holy Spirit does come with a reminder. Don't worry about it. I started seeing things a little different. Pam will tell you, sometimes we're driving and we're trying to get somewhere fast and we're driving I'm in the passing lane. See, how many of you have had challenges in the car? Raise your hand if you've had challenges in the car. This is a safe environment. And here's this guy on me. Somebody had two hands up. That was funny. They were on me, and they're like, what's on my bumper? So much so that when I did put in my signal to get out of the lane, they like almost hit me, me moving over, and they zoomed on by. So I said to Pam, I said, maybe they're a police officer undercover, and they're going to an emergency. Let the Holy Spirit into every area of our lives. Ongoing baptism. Anger. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Gossip. Slander. Sexual temptations. Lust. Inordinate affections, inappropriate affections. See, I'm trying to give some ideas of areas where we need to open the door. Because baptism, it's got to be full immersion. When I got baptized, as I was saying on Wednesday night, sometimes I try to baptize people and they're stiff. Sometimes because of fear. Most of the time it's because of fear. You know, you're trying to baptize them, trying to put them under the water, and they're like, and so it becomes hard. And listen, we're, you know, Dino and I are big guys. It's like, we got a, you know, 350-pound guy, and we're trying to baptize. That same thing can happen with a 120-pound woman. They're trying to baptize me. I'm afraid. And it only works when you surrender. You say, okay, I trust you guys. And I trust the power of the Spirit of God in this. And so I'm ready to take that plunge. It's not just when we're going down in water. The key to bearing fruit is yielding. The key to abiding with the very Spirit of God on an ongoing basis is saying yes, yes. So for a couple weeks, you know, me along with others on the pastoral team, teaching team, we're going to talk about this ongoing baptism. The real question is, baptism happened. What now? What now? So here's Peter, and he's doing all this denying, all of this cursing. I don't know how deep the vulgar words went, but he was trying to say, because of fear, I saw what y'all doing to him. I don't want to get beat like he's getting beat. I don't want to get tortured like he's getting tortured. I don't want to die like he's about to die. So I want to say some things. It's out of fear. It's out of fear. They have all kinds of reasons that people haven't come to faith in Jesus. I have a friend of mine, and Pam and I, he's from India. And I knew him for about, I guess, a couple years. And then just recently, he sent, and he wasn't no Christian, no profession of Jesus. Recently, he sent me a text. He says, PT, give me a call when you get a chance. I want to pray with you. I want you to pray with me. Wow. How many of you know? I'm like, yes. Sent a message back to him. We got together. Turns out, he was Christian. He was living for Jesus since he was a teenager. But because of disappointment, he went all the way to the extreme of declaring himself to be an atheist. But his wife constantly prayed for him. In fact, he said, I would get up sometimes to go to the bathroom or to go and get some water, and it'd be in the wee hours of the morning, and I go and I'm going on my way, and I look in the room, and there she is on her knees praying. Father, open his eyes. Spirit of God, give him a fresh perspective. Give him fresh vision. Because for about a decade, he was living off of disappointment. And God got a hold of him. Not a wagging of the finger, but the love and grace captured him. And so now, you'll get a chance to meet him, I think. A chance to meet him. We do a lot of things together in Philadelphia. He does videos and all these things. But he was doing it just as a secular company, and I needed some things done for the city. And so I hired him, put some things together. And now he says, see, all I want to do in the climate of our society where all the reporting is nothing but what's going wrong, I want to use my skills to highlight the miracles that are taking place. People who are getting healed and delivered. comfort and restoration. I want to show. I mean, it's this amazing vision. But what's my point? My point is that many times we get off, or there are people who are off, and it's happened because of disappointment. It's happened because they missed it. It's happened because of fear. And so that was Peter's position before the cross. And then after the cross, when Jesus recreates that same fire moment, he says, you denied me three times, now I want you to affirm me three times. I'm going to change that thing. You denied me three times, now I want you to say, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. And all of the cursing that went in the number three denial, now he's bringing that commitment, affirmation. Jesus, I love you. And here's the deal. It was only after the day of Pentecost, when the very power of the Spirit of God flooded this entire planet, but it rested on them that were there in the upper room, that now Peter, filled with the Spirit, there's no more denying Jesus in there. He's filled with the Spirit. There's no more hiding. Filled with the Spirit, there's no more fear. Hey, look at someone and say, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He gave you another spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's love, it's power, it's balanced. Sound mind. But that spirit, we got to be filled, ongoing, ongoing. And not a formula. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. No. It's got to be the intimacy that Pastor Dina was talking about last week. Intimacy is what the Father wants. Intimacy. Intimacy. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's look at the scriptures. I want to read out of, and we're going to read this morning. If you notice, I've been trying to do more reading. Get us in a habit of reading our Bibles throughout the week. I was a little boy in vacation Bible school. They had a song. I was a little guy. And I remember them saying a song, I'm in the Lord's army. Anybody know that song? I may never march in the infantry, ride on the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I don't know if it's another song or the same song. The tune says, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Y'all don't know that one? Okay. It's a song, though. It's a song. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. We need to read our Bibles. But sometimes we don't feel like reading our Bible. And it gets real quiet. Look, this is a safe environment. It's true. Have you had days where you haven't read your Bible? This is safe. This is safe. There's no. Anybody? Come on, help the person sitting next to you. Yeah, there have been times. So how do you get to that place where you want to spend time with God, where you want to read your Bible? David said, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation day and night. If you listen to our brother Donald over here, you can't miss Donald. He's the biggest guy in the room. He'll declare that I'm a Psalms 1 man. What's Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So I'm being really practical with this. Because if we don't understand scripture and God's plan and how the kingdom operates in a practical way, then we'll compartmentalize and we'll keep kingdom here, but we won't take it with us. So it's important that we learn how to do it in ongoing fashion. That's why I mentioned those places, the kitchen, the family room, the dining room, the bedroom, the car, your cubicle. Or your office. You want to take them with you everywhere. Everywhere. So how do you get to a place where you want to read every day? Not for formula, but to know him. To know him. I'm sorry, I got distracted for a minute. I heard the little guy going. That's cool. That's cool. I love that. And that's how Jesus taught. Jesus is teaching and doing all kinds of stuff, and the guy's trying, get these kids out of here. No, no, no. Jesus says, don't you ever keep them from here. In fact, I'm going to use them as models for your faith and your love and your humility. Come like a child. So anyway, what was I talking about? So, when you ask Holy Spirit, ask him for everything now. Every single thing you're going to need to ask him for. Because when you look at Deuteronomy 28 and you look at Deuteronomy 30 and you see the heart of God, that I want you to follow my plan and not just my law. Jesus came as the fulfillment, which means that everything that was in the Old Testament is in Jesus' actions. What's the difference? The power of the Holy Spirit is the one who helps you live it out. That's why he says, Don't be drunk with wine where you're all over the place doing all kinds of things out of balance. You know what lasciviousness is? Anybody know what lasciviousness is? Lasciviousness is no restraint. And sometimes we think lasciviousness just for lust and sexual activity. No, lasciviousness says, I got no restraint. In fact, one prophet says, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that needs to be broken down. That word perish really talks about no restraint. Where there is no vision of what God has said, now there's no straitjacket to keep you locked in to what God has said. So the Holy Spirit helps me. I'm forced, not forced through shame and guilt. That's why I don't do a whole lot of preaching at funerals. I really don't. You know, most of the time we say, oh, man, we got a funeral. Oh, we got a lot of people. Oh, man, and there's a body up here. Oh, yeah, we're going to get people straight. We're going to bring some fear in here. They're going to walk out of here knowing that if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to end up like that. And at the end of the day, that picture will last for a minute. Then you go back to your lifestyle. You wake up the next day, ooh, I didn't die. Okay. Ooh, I didn't die. You know how it is. You know, death comes in threes. So-and-so died, really? Yeah. All right, there's another one coming. Oh, so-and-so died, wow. Oh, there's another one. Oh, thank God it wasn't me. All right, let me go back to my lifestyle. Fear, never. That kind of fear. There is a healthy fear. We'll talk about that in one of this series. In fact, I'll tell you ahead of time. There's a great book. There's a great book called The Awe of God. Let me tell you who it's by. Great, great book. Hang on to my audio. Hang on for a second. The Awe of God. By a guy named John Bevere. B-E-V-E-R-E. The Awe of God. And it talks about fear from a healthy perspective. And not just, oh no. When we reverentially worship him. We want that fear. I want that fear. I want that reverence. I want that awe. So get a hold of that book. It's a really good book. But it's the Holy Spirit who comes in and helps you. Helps you. That's the restraint. He's our guide. Imagine that you're not seeing well. Let's do a little, Craig, come here for a second. Let's do a little bit of role play here. Here's Craig. Everybody say, hi, Craig. Now, Craig is just going to help me because I'm blind, okay? I'm blind and I can't see. Watch how Craig helps me. Oh, thank God. See, he's already helping me. He's already helping me. Now, I'm trying to walk and he's helping me. He's helping me now. He's helping. Okay, I'm not supposed to go there. He's helping me. Cars are coming, and he's pulling me back, and he's helping me. I think I want to go this way. Yeah, I want to get over to the market. I know the last time the market was over here, so let me get over to the market. Market's not over here? Oh, okay. Market's not over there? Oh, where's the market? There's no market in here. Okay. Now listen. This is what he's not doing. This is what he's not doing. He's not doing this. Forgive me for what I'm about to do. Okay? He said, oh, Lord. He's not doing that. You understand? He's not doing this. You just wait until the Father sees you. You're going to get it. And everything he gave you is all gone. He's not doing that. The Bible says he will guide you into all truth. He'll come alongside and help you. So when we talk about, thank you. Everybody love on this brother, thank you. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit helping you to live out, he's the one that does it. In fact, he was talking to Jesus in the garden. He was the one. You know what happened in the garden? Jesus didn't want, admittedly, is there another way to do this? Because I don't want to do this. Spirit is the one that was helping him. Holy Spirit. So we've got to have that in an ongoing fashion. Let's take a poll. Not a poll. This is inward. So look around the room. Look around. Is there anybody in here that you don't like? Look around. Some of y'all might have to stand up. Anybody? This is only for you, so don't yell it out. I don't want to hear, y'all, I see him now. No. you don't want to do that. I want you to think about your family. Anybody in there that you don't like right now? Somebody who's angered you? Somebody that when you look at them in the morning, you get up and you're walking around the hallways, people going to the bathroom, down in the kitchen, and you're walking, Anybody like that? What about your extended family? Cousins? Uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces? Anybody like that? Holy Spirit is the one that helps. Holy Spirit, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. Holy Spirit is the one leading you into all truth. Because the commands of God says, when you stand praying, anybody know the next line? I heard somebody say that. I heard it again. Forgive. Oh, you're so pretty. If you're watching online, this is my wife, okay? So, yo, what kind of pastor is that? Something going on in that church. I want to go there. No, that's my wife. He says, when you have that kind of faith that says, move mountains, if you want that, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. He says, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor, the one that is the opposite of anything good. Love them the way you love yourself. Treat them the way you want to be treated. You seeing this? So this is the picture now. How do I do it when I don't feel like doing it? How do I read scripture when I don't feel like reading scripture? How do I forgive when I don't want to forgive? How do I abstain from fornication and adultery? Whether I'm physically doing it or whether I'm acting it out in my mind, desiring in my heart. Sometimes I got to bring a in because sometimes things are a little tense. Whenever I teach on purity, over the years, I have a whole lot of jokes in that teaching. Because invariably the enemy tries to bring shame because we live in a culture that's dominated by lust. And so we got to talk about it, though. So let's read some scripture. We're going to read scripture and we're going to end with the scripture. I'm giving you a bunch of scripture now. So the passages we're going to go to start in Deuteronomy, and we're going to go with Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. Look at this. It says, if you fully obey the Lord, everybody say fully. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God, look at this, will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Here, verse 3, your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your offspring of your herd, the offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit basket and your breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Look at verse 10. then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. Now go quickly to Deuteronomy 30. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we will start at verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 and 11. These pictures have to do with commands. I will also tell you that there are options, because you can do what God says, and you can't. You may not want to do what God says. You have a choice. Look at what he says in verse 11, Deuteronomy 30. Excuse me. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. Everybody, let's read that together. On three. One, two, three. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. Look at what it says. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? Verse 13. It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea and bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. I want you to know, this is all prophetic here. Everything that I just read, it's all prophetic. You're going to find that, if we don't get a chance to get there, you're going to find that very phrase in Romans chapter 10. Same phrase. But in Romans, it's talking about Jesus. Look at verse 15. It says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. What's the choice? Life and death. Between prosperity and disaster. What's the choice? Verse 16. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, his decrees, his regulations, by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve, I hope the song comes to your mind when we read this phrase. And if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, remember the song that we started with, Mighty One, Mighty One. We worship you. I worship you. We still have a choice. We still have a choice. Jesus didn't come and the guy asked him, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, hey, just do your thing. God understands your heart. No, it's the same thing. Love. There is no God like God. there is no other God that can stand before him, next to him. Which is why when all of Moses' accomplishments, and even in all of his history and what happened in Egypt, when he walked into where the burning bush was, the voice came out and said, Moses. Now, if you listen to Cecil, Moses sounded like God calling Moses, Moses, Moses. God's like Moses. Take off your shoes now. Because the ground that you're standing on is holy. We can never get away from who he is. He's holy. And that's not holy for this. Oh, you better. No. He says, there is nothing but righteous in me. There's nothing but goodness in me. There's nothing but faith in me. There's nothing but holiness in me. If you're going to be with me, who's holy, then I want you to be holy. My commands haven't changed. So when Jesus comes, he says, hey, I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He preaches the gospel of the kingdom. The guy asks him, says, look, this is some good message you got. Hey, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. And then love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. And don't water down your desires that says, well, it ain't really matter to me, so I ain't think it matter to them. No. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit. He'll help you to see how they're wired. Let's finish up this passage. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life, everybody say life, and death, everybody say death. Between blessing and cursing, say between blessing and cursing. He says, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh! Listen to the heart of the Father. Oh! That you would choose life. Please choose life. I've given you options, but I'm going to give you the answer. A friend of mine said, when God plays hide and go seek, he hides it right in front of you. You ever do it with your kids? Oh yeah, granddaughter, about to turn six. And when we play, I don't want to win. I want her to win. So let's play hide and go seek. Let's play hide and go seek. Say, Aunt Mel. I call her baby, baby. Hey, baby, baby, you ready? Okay, so she's counting. One, two, three. And then I'm making it so easy for her to find me. If I'm in the closet, I'm sticking my foot out. If I'm hiding behind the couch, I'm coughing so she could hear me. And she comes in and she's like, Pop, Pop, I know who you are, Pop, Pop. God says, because of the culture, you got a choice. There's some craziness going on, but I'm showing you how to stay close to me, filled with me. And so I'm giving you the guidelines. It's blessing and cursing. It's good and evil. It's life and death. And then he says, choose life, please. Please choose life. So that you and your seed can live. You and your descendants can live. Choose life. at the next verse. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Last passage, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We start at verse 4. It says, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. That's all it takes to get in with him. You don't have to be part of the nation of Israel, where I was just reading God's plans to his chosen people. In fact, you'll see even in this passage later on, it says, you know, I decided to love a group that wasn't even part of this. Thank God I was grafted in. Anybody here glad that you were grafted in? I wasn't part of the original tree. I got grafted in. You know, it's like a person who's experienced burning in their body, you know, and on their skin, and you get a skin graft, and so he takes skin from the other part and graft it in onto your skin. Well, that part of your skin isn't treated worse than the other part. No. It's all the same. Hey, put your hand on your chest and say, Father, thank you for grafting me in to be part of the original. Man. Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with him. Man. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. Even though there are 10 commandments, there are about 490 regulations. See, and all these other things, they had to jump through all of these hoops. What you could wear, what you couldn't wear, what you could eat, what you couldn't eat, what you could put on your body, what you couldn't put on your body. And if you missed even one of them, you were out. But thank God that because of Jesus and our faith in him, we've been made right. We've been made right with God. It's all because of our belief. It says, but faith's way of getting right with God, and I told you it's the prophetic piece, faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to the earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and it's in your heart. It's that message, and that message is the very message about faith we preach. Here it is. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Salvation comes. Verse 11, as the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everybody welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So you see the whole picture. You see all those rules and regulations that were in the Old Testament. And the prophetic picture says, it's not difficult. It's not hard. For them, it was hard. So when Jesus came, it's like, ah, the Messiah has come. And he has made us right with God. So being right with God, how do you now live out the ongoing relationship with him? How do you do it? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend more time next week talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Practical ways. It takes 21 days to start a new habit. And then another 21 days to get comfortable with it. We need the comfort, the sweet spot, settling in with communion with the Holy Spirit. It's a sweet spot, learning how to abide with him. Say these words, Holy Spirit, rest on me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, guide me. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to resist you. So Holy Spirit, come, show me how to hear you well and how to respond to you.